the Bible. It's the Word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword. This sacred book is living and active and contains all that's needed for life and godliness. Stay with American Family Radio for the next hour as we study God's Word and take your Bible questions. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
Romans chapter 3, verse 9 says, both Jews and Greeks, they are under sin. And then it describes them a few verses later. It says, their throat is like an open tomb. Their tongues, they have practiced deceit. Now, that's not all it says. Their feet are swift to shed blood. And then the way of peace they have not known. In other words, their speech, their feet, their mind, they're all toward sin. Well, this is Bert Harper and Alex McFarland, but we want to give you hope. Even though you're a sinner, I want to tell you, God loves you and He has a plan for your life, and it starts with a relationship with Jesus Christ. Again, this is Bert and Alex, and it's good to be with you today on Exploring the Word. We're in the book of Romans chapter 3, which is a turning point. Alex, in chapter 1, 2, and the first part of 3, it gives you, man, we're all sinners, but then at the end, it starts giving us great hope that is in Jesus Christ. That hope is real, isn't it?
Well, it is real. And let me say that the theme of the entire Bible is the Savior and how you can know Him. Or, as one scholar said, the theme of the Bible is the kingdom of God and how to get in. Now, I think this matters. We're going to be in Romans 3, and then we are going to take prayer requests. And if you would like for us to pray with you about something, or just we'll spread the prayer request around, and as a big family of God coast to coast, we'll lift each other up in prayer. But, Bert, I was looking at the latter portion of Romans 3, and I notice in 10 and following, Paul's making the argument that we're all sinners. We need salvation in the Messiah, Jesus. Works won't do it. Religion won't do it. And there, at least in my Bible, all these verses, really 10 through 18, are the font shows you that it's a quote from the Old Testament. And you've got Psalm 14 and Psalm 5 and Psalm 140. And Psalm 10, and Proverbs 1, and Psalm 36. Bert, I did a little study. Now, I think we could agree, the Apostle Paul, he knows what he's talking about, doesn't he?
He really does. He does, Alex.
Steeped in Judaism, the Hebrew religion, but he met the risen Christ on the Damascus Road, and he is the Apostle to the Gentiles. And think about this. 183 times in his writings, and the Apostle Paul was used by God to write half of the New Testament. 183 times Paul quotes the Old Testament.
Wow.
74 times right here in the book of Romans. So I think the Apostle Paul, the idea that we're sinners, we need a Savior, he makes a rather compelling argument, doesn't he?
He does. And again, Scripture, that's the truth. It is settled in heaven, the Old and New Testament, settled in heaven. So the argument using the Bible is a good place. It is the final place. It is settled. And here in verses 10, I would say through verse 12, it's talking about your mind, your heart, and your will. Listen to this, see if you get it. There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands. That's the mind. Now listen to this. There are none who seeks after God. That's the heart, your passion, what you're driven by. They have all gone out of the way. They have altogether become unprofitable. Now listen to this. There is none who does good. No, not one. That's the will. So here we find man, again, I think he's what he's, in my mind, what he's doing is verifying his statement in verse 9 that Jews and Greeks both are under sin. Regardless of what you received in the past, regardless of where you were born, regardless of your age, we're all under sin, Alex. And then he goes on and talks about their speech, their feet for destruction, and their mind not knowing. So I think he's talking about total, total sin, not just halfway, but partial. He really paints the picture using Scripture, again, what God has said, to let the Romans know that they are sinners, but they could be saved, but those around them that are sinners need to be reached. So I think he does it in an effective way.
Have you ever heard the phrase, connect the dots? It's like, okay, you've got some things, and it's like, oh, I connected the dots. I get it. I understand. In verse 11, verse 10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understands, none that seeks after God. So I looked up that word understand, and we know to comprehend or to perceive something. And it really means, in the original language, it means to put something together or literally to connect the dots. Okay, what dots does the Lord want you to be able to connect and understand? That, yes, God loves you, but you've sinned. And there will not be any sin in heaven. And if you want to go to heaven when you leave this world, as we all will, then you've got something's got to change. And that change has to be the new birth, to be, yes, forgiven, but to be made righteous. And you can't earn it, and you don't have it, and money won't buy it. So what are we going to do? Well, we need the grace and mercy of God. And Bert, in that verse there, verse 11, none that understands, none that seeks after God. We're praying that you would seek after God and realize that, yes, the Lord loves you. We Bert and I simply don't have vocabulary adequate to convey how much God loves you. But you must be saved. There must be a time when you put your faith in Christ. And Bert, when we understand that, and for me it was at age 21, that is the most important realization and belief that you'll ever exercise, is to realize that you need Christ and to put your faith in Him.
Amen, Alex. I'm so thankful for you. It happened for me at 12, knowing that I was a sinner. I couldn't save myself even that young. I knew that I was a sinner. And the good part about verse 11 is the opposite of that. Even though no one seeks God, God seeks us. He first loved us before we could ever love Him. So God is seeking that relationship with you that are listening today. If you're in your car, in your truck, on your tractor, at your desk, in your kitchen, God desires to have this relationship with you, and He seeks after you. And you can respond, even though we go our own way. But the way of man, Alex, is always away from God. There's a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. When we do our best, when we try to say, no, we do the Frank Sinatra thing, and I did it my way. Hey, those of you that don't know that song, it's an old song, but we did it my way. No, we got to do it God's way. And no one can come to the Father except through Jesus Christ. Are there any plan B's or C's or D's after the plan A that God presents, Alex?
There is no plan B. There is no backup or contingency plan. You either have Christ or you need Christ. And, you know, I was looking like at verse 17, the way of peace they have not known. Okay, and again, this is a long verses 10 through 18. Paul is using the Old Testament to prove his case. And he, you know, his quotation of all sorts of Psalms and Proverbs, you know, I think Jewish readers would have known, okay, this man knows the Scriptures. There's none righteous. They've all gone out of the way, together become unprofitable. In other words, all the righteousness that the most righteous Pharisees, Sadducees, all the righteousness they've got is still missing the mark. There's none who does good, no, not one. Their throat is like an open grave. With their tongues, they've lied. The poison of asps is under their lips. And that's a quote from Psalm 140. Mouthful of bitterness, feet swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. And the way of peace they have not known. There's no fear of God before their eyes. You know, Bert, you and I could make a sermon out of all of these.
Oh, man.
You know, lying, hatred, having just so much anger in your heart, it amounts to murder, you know. But they don't know God. And I think the way of peace they have not known. Bert, I've shared the gospel with people, and I've had people say things to me. I've had many, many people pray and accept Christ. Glory to God. But every now and then I'll be talking to someone, and they'll say, well, you know what, Alex, if I die, and if it turns out there is a God, here's what I plan to say. Look, you're not going to debate God. I mean, there, like Bert said, there's no plan B. If you don't open your eyes in the presence of the Lord Jesus, read Luke 16. It will chill you to the bone. The rich, unbelieving man died and in hell opened up his eyes. And it's too late. Bert, I don't mean to belabor this point, but because eternity is forever and because our souls are at stake, I do belabor the point. Please make sure that you've accepted Christ before you leave this world.
Alex, one more thing before we leave verse 18 and continue on. Look how much space is given to their speech. Now, again, especially to the Jews, and this, he uses the Old Testament, verse 13 all the way through 14, and it's their throat is like an open tomb. Their tongue, they have practiced deceit. And you've already read these, but I'm making emphasis. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Here they are. They thought they could say the right thing. They could teach, because you remember he got into there earlier about you teaching them, but you're practicing what you're not teaching. So he really comes down on their speech. I know it does their ways as well, verses 15 and 16. What they're thinking, there's no way of peace. They have not known. Their mind is corrupt. They cannot know peace, male, the Jew, or the Jew or the Greek. So here it is. There's no fear of God before their eyes. I think that's the climactic of this list. There's no fear of God. Okay, I'm going into this on my own. I can plow my own field. I can drive my own vehicle. I can go the way I want to go. No, there is no fear of God before their eyes. They are doing it the wrong way, their way. So we don't want to fall into that trap. Alex and I do not want anyone who is listening to fall into that trap. I want to tell you, there's only peace, the real peace that God gives through a relationship with Christ. There's only real hope for eternity in Jesus Christ. And then I would say there's this relationship, and he'll stick with you closer than a brother. It's a relationship that is good in the good times, the difficult times. That relationship with Christ, he says, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I am with you always to the end of the age. So, amen. Alex, we need to have that respect, that fear, that knowledge of God in our eyes and in our life, don't we?
We do. We do. And, you know, as Romans chapter 3, it sort of turns a corner here. And Paul is going to say something that, frankly, would have blown their minds, you know, that righteousness before God can happen, but it's by faith, not works.
That has to blow their mind, Alex.
It's by the grace of God, not the law. And 19 and 20, he says that, you know, everyone that is under the law, I mean, if you're depending on the law and nobody's kept the law, then you're guilty. Hey. So how do we get straight before God? Well, he's going to tell us in the verses that follow.
Verse 21, can't wait to get there. Stay tuned for more. Meet Kelsey. When she found out she was pregnant, she wasn't sure where to turn. But after meeting with the counselors at Preborn Network Clinic, who loved and supported her, and after hearing her baby's heartbeat on a free ultrasound, she chose life.
When a mother looks at her child through a sonogram, it does something to you. You know, I ended up deciding to keep my son, who is now 5 years old today. He's amazing. He brings absolute joy to my heart. I could not imagine life without him. Not only did they help me save his life, they saved my life.
By introducing a woman to her baby on ultrasound, a baby's chance at life doubles. If you have the means, would you consider a leadership gift to save babies in a big way?
Your tax-deductible donation of $5,000 will sponsor Preborn's entire network for 24 hours, helping to rescue 200 babies. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby. Or donate securely at preborn.com. That's preborn.com/Bert Harper.
Don't stop praying. Don't stop calling on Jesus' name. Keep on pounding on heaven's door. Let your knees wear out the floor. Don't stop believing.
Oh, wow. That is a great song lyric. Folks, I don't know if you heard that. It said, keep on pounding on heaven's door. Let your knees wear out the floor. Keep on praying. Bert, you know, that's really true. There's a, I've not been there, but I've read about in London, there was a house where John Wesley occupied, and under one of the windows, he really did wear out the floor. He prayed so much. There's, they say, two kind of scallop places in the wooden floorboards where Wesley spent so much time on his knees praying for the salvation of souls around the world.
Amen. And it changed a nation and changed a frontier nation in America. You know, that first Great Awakening, that was part of that. And what they did, praise God. God can still do it. God is still on the throne. Man is still sinner. And so God can, and we pray that he does. Alex, amen. You said it, and I think you introduced it well. You said, we're about to turn a corner. When we get to 21 and through 31, all of a sudden we find this great hope. But it's not the way the Jews thought it would come. It's something about, let me say this. It sounds like someone would say he throws the law under the bus, you know. Well, not really. He says the law has a purpose, but it's not so that you can be saved. That comes a different way, doesn't it?
Exactly. And, you know, it's worth talking about, folks. Keeping the Ten Commandments is not the plan of salvation. Now, should we keep the Ten Commandments and live morally? Of course, absolutely. 1,000 times yes. But the law of God, good works, moral, upright living, important as that is, that's not how we get saved. And so the last few words of verse 20, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. In other words, if we look at the perfect holiness of God, that reveals how much we need a Savior, because we look at God and His Word and we say, Lord, I'm sorry, I have sinned. Lord, I knew the right and I did the wrong. Lord, please have mercy on me. So let me read some of this. This is, and by the way, God has used the book of Romans in pretty much all of history's great awakenings.
Yes.
So this is really significant that we're studying this at this time. And I want this, and I pray this for all of you all, that you let these words of Scripture just permeate throughout your heart and your mind. Verse 21, but now the righteousness of God, apart from the law, is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. Now, Bert, there's a library of truth in all of these words. Let's go back to verse 21. Righteousness before God achieved or experienced without the law, that would have been a mind blown. The righteousness of God apart from the law. They just wouldn't have gotten their mind around that. But Paul says, look, this is what the law and the prophets were saying. You know, if you want to understand the Old Testament, all the prophets would have agreed with what I'm telling you, says Paul, that righteousness is not by works, but by faith in Jesus.
Alex, there are some conjunctions that have a greater impact than others. You know, it says over in the book of Acts, Peter was kept in prison, but prayers were made by the church. What a conjunction. Here in verse 21, again, it talks about all that, but then in verse 21, but now, what a statement that is. The righteousness of God, apart from the law, is revealed, being witnessed by the law. You said that, yes, all the law, all the prophets, they looked forward to that time when sin could be forgiven and, I would say, washed away. Until then, it was a covering. We talked about that earlier, the atonement. And here it is, through faith, verse 22, even the righteousness of God, which is through faith in Jesus Christ. It's only through him. There's not another way. Alex and I have been talking about there's only one way to God, and it is through Christ. And notice, on all who believe. Now listen to this last line in verse 22. For there is no difference in what? Jew or Greek. You're saved by grace through faith. There's no other way. For all, that word all, man, it cuts through everything. All have sinned. And I love the way it goes. Fall short of the glory of God. And I think we did this yesterday. If it was a 10-foot chasm, that's a lot further than that between us and God. But if it were 10 feet and you could jump 9 feet and 11 and a half inches, man, I've almost made it. But you do not make it. You can't make it on your own. For all have sinned. And I know preachers do this in the pulpit. I do it all the time. Now, what does all mean in the Greek? Mm-hmm. It means all, doesn't it?
Well, Bert, is it fair to say almost saved is still completely lost?
That's it. It is. It is, Alex. What a statement.
This is just amazing. Okay, verse 22 and following. The righteousness that is the standard for heaven, it's through Jesus by faith. Paul would say, you know, hey, this is what the prophets would say. Ask Habakkuk. 2 verse 4, he'll tell you, we're justified by faith. And it goes on down there and it says, all have sinned, but we can be justified freely, thoroughly by his grace through Jesus, that God sent forth Jesus to be a propitiation. In other words, the turning away of wrath through his blood on the cross. Now, verse 26 and following.
Alex, let me just stop. I want to ask you something. You're the word. You're the word guy here. Look at these words. See if you don't have to say a lot, but I just got to bring your attention. Verse 24, justified. Verse 24, redemption. Verse 25, propitiation. Mm-hmm. If I'm not mistaken, when you look at those three words, our salvation is complete. It's not partial. Mm-hmm. You know. It is complete. Yes. So I just, those words grab you. You could do a sermon just telling the whole world about what justification means, what the redemption idea is, and the propitiation by his blood. Wow, what a God Amen. We serve. He took care of our sin on the cross if we would only put our faith in him, did he not?
Amen. Let me encourage all of you. I know we have listeners that teach Sunday school or pastors, and some of you work with youth. Praise God. Take your people through a study, the great words of salvation, justification, you know, made right in the sight of God, atonement, that means the payment, propitiation, the turning away of wrath, and the blood of Jesus. You know, I mentioned Paul quotes the Old Testament 183 times. Well, Bert, I looked this up. 43 times the New Testament refers to the blood of Jesus, which is the atonement for our sins. And you just don't hear a lot of preaching or teaching on this, but folks, this is everything. I mean, this is our salvation. These words and these truths and these scriptures are how we are made right with God. So I think the church needs to, you know about this.
Amen.
And Paul says in verse 26, to declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness. Now, back in Acts 17:30, you remember Paul says, in times past, God winked at man's ignorance. I mean, God has shown a lot of grace, but in these last days, And by the way, if Paul on Mars Hill was part of the last days, by now we must really be in the last of the last days.
Yes.
But God now commands that people repent. So where is boasting? It is excluded. Nobody can brag. Wow, how did he get here? I was better and more righteous than him. No, nobody can boast. By what law of works? No, but by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude, and 28 through 31, Paul is summarizing what really is an incredible sermon almost, Romans 2 through the end of 3. We conclude a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law. Now, Bert, that's, as Peter Kraft, he's a great apologist, he would make a good argument, and he would say, you either see this or you don't. And I can almost hear Paul is saying we're justified by faith, not works. It's belief in Jesus, not human meritorious effort to keep the law. Some are going to believe. I fear some would have tuned him out right about here.
I agree. Okay, I want to ask you this, Alex. I hope I get this right. In other words, what we're seeing here in verse 28 and following, in Christ alone, by grace alone, through faith alone, not anything else. That's how we are born again. Christ. There is no other way. Grace, God's grace, his, you know, God's riches at Christ's expense, using that as an acrostic, somewhat unmerited favor, through faith alone. It is activated. Listen, God's grace is ready. Christ has done his work so grace can be demonstrated. Now what activates that? Your faith in him. The word faith means to believe upon. It means trust. When it says believe in the New Testament, it's more than head knowledge. It is a trust factor. It really has the word faith in. In other words, we place our faith completely in him and nothing else. We stand alone in him. So in Christ alone, by grace alone, through faith alone, Alex, chapter 3 at the end of it, it presents that as clear as you can look at it anywhere else.
And this is for Jew and Gentile, male, female, every ethnicity. Salvation is the same for everybody. And Paul says this, is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and the uncircumcision through faith. In other words, the line of Abraham and the line Isaac, Ishmael, Jew, Gentile, it's all, verse 30, by faith. Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid, yea, we establish the law. Now, verse 31, Bert, I'm going to cue this up and throw it to you. As if Paul hasn't dropped enough theological bombshells already, we're saved by faith, not works, and it's the same for Jew and Gentile, and just because I was born Jewish, that doesn't get me any brownie points. Somebody might have said, that's right. Now, here's the thing. So do you mean we've thrown the law under the bus? No. We've actually shown our affirmation of God's law. What does that mean? Because we're going to come to God the way God said come to him, through faith in his Son. The perfect righteousness of Jesus is mine by putting my belief, my trust in Christ and what he did. And I'm going to say this, I'm going to throw it to you. I read Romans 3, and I want to say this is the greatest, it's deep, I'll grant you, the greatest words ever put on paper, and then along comes Romans 4. I mean, folks, I cannot overstate how beautiful, significant, monumentally important this is.
There is no let up in the book of Romans. You go from chapter 1 where you find out how reprobate man on his own, and then you find out the Jews who thought they had this perfect relationship with God, and he says, no, you don't. But here in chapter 3, all is under sin, but then all can be saved by grace through faith. And the law, what does it does? Now, what is it? We establish the law. The law is established for the purpose for which it was given. It was never given in order to be saved. Abraham, and that's what he's going to jump into in chapter 4. Abraham was saved before the law. Something like 453 years or something like that before the law ever came along. And they're going to talk about circumcision. Was Abraham justified after circumcision or before? It was before. So it's in faith and faith alone. Let me read chapter 4, verse 1, and we're coming to the close of this segment. Getting ready for your prayer request. If you have them, that number is 888-589-8840. We want to hear your prayer request, day of prayer, and we really have responded to this. You have, so it's let other people pray. But listen to verse chapter 4, verse 1. What then shall we say that Abraham our father was found according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something of which to boast, but not before God. I'm going to stop there. How would you boast before God? Alex, it's like me. Going out, and recently I dug a hole in my front yard to put a bush out, a tree out. And, man, I had to dig it a lot bigger than, you know, what it was and deeper than it was so I could fill it up with dirt. It's like me. Look at the hole I've built and then going out to the Grand Canyon and look at that.
Yeah.
If we're going to boast about our works before God, Alex, how foolish. I mean, you catch the picture I'm trying to paint.
Exactly. And, you know, again, we are showing our respect for God's law and our reverence and worship to God himself by affirming salvation through faith. I know it sounds counterintuitive, you know, believe in Jesus, but what else do I have to do? Believe in Jesus.
That's what it says in verse 3. I want to finish this one. Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. What a statement. Have you trusted Christ as your Savior? Well, we're going to take your prayers, that number, 888-589-8840.
You could be a part of our first ever weekend with AFA, Thursday, October 2nd through Saturday, October 4th in Tupelo, Mississippi.
Our Weekend with AFA event in October is going to be a chance to meet AFA supporters in person.
We'll have tours, fellowship, special speakers, and more.
I'll do some stand-up comedy, Abe will do some preaching, and I'm really excited about it.
It's a Weekend with AFA, Thursday, October 2nd through Saturday, October 4th in Tupelo, Mississippi. Speakers will include Abraham Hamilton III, Jenna Ellis, Tim Barton, Tim Wildman, and more.
I am thoroughly looking forward to our Weekend with AFA coming up in October, where we're going to be able to meet our supporters like yourself, to fellowship, to visit our facilities here in Tupelo, and to have everyone come together for a wonderful weekend.
That's October 2nd through 4th. It's a Weekend with AFA, and we hope you can join us. Register at afa.net/weekend. That's afa.net/weekend.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word here on the American Family Radio Network. Hey, the number is 888-589-8840. We would love to hear from you. You know, we usually take Bible questions, but on Tuesdays we've gotten to where we pray, and we're going to do that. If you want to call in, 888-589-8840. Also, Brent Austin looks after our very robust Facebook page. Exploring the Word is on Facebook, and sometimes people post prayer requests and comments and things there. And also, I haven't given this out in a while, but if you ever want to write to us or you want to submit a Bible question or just some show comments or such, we'd love to hear from you, word@afr.net. That's W-O-R-D, word@afr.net. And Bert and I do see all those emails, and Brent Austin gets them to us. So, Bert, are you ready to go to some phone calls?
We are ready, and again, prayer day here on Exploring the Word. Where do we go to first, Alex?
We're going to begin in Texas. Michelle in Texas, thank you for holding, and welcome to Exploring the Word.
Thanks very much. I enjoy the show. Have been listening for years.
Well, thank you.
Had a crisis of faith, and something happened. It was terrible. It's my fault. It made me examine myself, as God tells us to, and I'm requesting prayers for salvation for myself and for my family, that those who are opposing it will be more open to God's word. And mm-hmm. I thank you for your program and your prayers and all the listeners' prayers as well.
Well, Michelle, listen, I feel very privileged you would call in, and I guarantee we are praying for you. May I ask you, when you say a crisis of faith, can you tell us about that a little bit?
I thought I had a relationship with the Lord. However, was very much, I guess, maybe more of a solo Christian. Wasn't regular church attendee. And my sister had an accident, and I made some choices that weren't good for her benefit, and it made me stop to really look at myself and examine myself. And I have head knowledge, which I believe has perhaps puffed up my ego, perhaps, and I need the heart.
I want to say something, and Michelle, and stay with us, and I want to throw it to Pastor Bert here, but I want you to know something, and I think deep in your heart maybe you know this, but I just want to say it. The Lord loves you very much, and we all make mistakes, and whatever was with your sister and her situation, right now I want you to just think about your relationship with Jesus Christ. And there's nothing we could do to make him love us less. And if we ask and say, "Dear Jesus, please forgive my sins. Dear Jesus, be my Savior. And Lord, make me your child." And just by the tone of your voice, I believe you are so sincere and you sound very humble before God. And I think you're seeking God. And I want you to know that right here today, you can resolve this. But Bert, what advice would you give to Michelle?
Michelle, again, when you doubt your salvation, you have a crisis of faith, do I believe? You go back and you do examine what I did earlier. Was it something real? Was it one I meant? Is it something you can't come to grips with and you don't know? Again, God knows your heart. And sometimes we don't even know our hearts. Honestly, we can be so weak that we don't even know if the faith that we had was real. So what you do, you come to him and say, "God, I know Jesus died on the cross. I know he rose again. And I know he took my sin. And right now, Father, I take Jesus afresh and anew in my life. Forgive me of my sin, my mistake. Forgive me of attitude and actions that I've had. And God, I want to walk with you. Lord, I give you my life now and forever." Michelle, again, if you don't know for sure about the past, do that now. Would you do that now? Would you feel like you could call upon the Lord right now in that way?
Yes, sir.
Amen. Michelle, there are a lot of people listening, and for sure there are people just like you, and they want to make sure. And if I lead in a prayer, would you pray? And see, Jesus said in John 6:37, "The one who comes to me, I will in no way reject." So if you come to him right now, it's going to be a clean slate. It's going to be a fresh start. Yes. And Jesus' arms are open to you right now. So let's pray together. And I want you on this day, this is May 13, 2025, 12 minutes till 5 p.m. Eastern time. And Michelle, you and I think many others are going to make sure where they stand with God. Would you pray with me right now, Michelle?
Yes, sir.
Sincerely, from your heart
you
to God. Yeah. Say, "Dear Lord Jesus.
Dear Lord Jesus.
Thank you for loving me.
Thank you for loving me.
And thank you for hearing my prayer today.
Thank you for hearing my prayer today.
I'm sorry for my sins.
I am sorry for my sins.
But I believe you died for me.
I believe you died for me.
I believe you are the Son of God.
I believe you are the Son of God.
And you paid for my sins on the cross.
And you paid for my sins on the cross.
I believe that you rose from the dead.
I believe that you rose from the dead.
And I accept you as my Savior.
And I accept you as my Savior.
Please forgive me.
Please forgive me.
Save my soul.
Save my soul.
And help me to follow you.
And help me to follow you.
From this day forward.
From this day forward.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Now, I want to pray for one more thing, Michelle, and I appreciate you hanging on, but listen to this. The Word of God promises that if we come to Christ in faith, and you've done that, that He receives us. And so I want you to have confidence in that. And I'm going to ask Bert to pray over you, Michelle, that you'll have joy. And I want to encourage you to take God at His word, and He's for you, He's with you, and you can have joy and complete assurance in that. And this crisis of faith, you're getting past it. You are past it. It's a new day. And Bert, would you, any remark, and then pray for her joy and her confidence in Jesus?
Michelle, after I get through prayer, do not hang up. We're going to put you on hold, try to get your address. We want to send you some material, okay?
Yes.
Father, I thank you for Michelle. God, thank you for her willingness to call and to seek you. And Father, the Bible says, we talked about it today, none seeks you. On our own, we don't. But because you loved Michelle so much, Father, you sought her and you brought her into your presence, redeemed, set free from sin. Father, I pray she would walk in that victory. She's living in victory now, Father. I pray that she would understand the Holy Spirit of God is in her. He has indwelled her, and now He will empower her to receive and understand that forgiveness that she's received, that she could walk in victory, that sin no longer has that grip on her. But, Father, she is seeking you with all of her heart. Help her. Help her to stay in your word. As she said earlier, help her to get back into that church, into that fellowship, where there'd be people there that would pray with her, encourage her. And, Father, I pray that you would help her. Help her keep listening to Exploring the Word. And Alex and I, Father, we're going to pour out what the Bible says about walking with God means. And, Father, may she learn that in Jesus' name. Amen. Michelle, we got you on hold. Will's going to get that address, and we're going to get you, and thank you. Alex, hallelujah, brother. Hey, guess what's happening in heaven right now?
Rejoicing in heaven. Amen.
Yeah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Go ahead, Jeremy.
Arkansas, Jeremy.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, guys, my dad's been bothered at his work for a long time now from a younger guy who's a non-believer. And it just seems like he keeps poking and poking at my dad and trying to stir up unbelief in the workplace. And my dad I would like to pray for that. He had to leave early from work a week or two ago because he thought he was having a heart attack because of this guy.
Oh, man.
And anyways, the guy goes around saying, how could there be a God if, talking about, I guess, 2 Kings chapter 2, where Elisha called for the bears to attack the boys who were making fun of his bald head. My dad wants to know from an apologetic standpoint, how would he go about even debating that with this guy who's just so gung-ho about God is not real?
Alex, you'd say, listen, God knows what He's doing even before it happens, you know? Mm-hmm. And He knows who those boys were that had attacked. Yes. That's not an argument about God. God is a holy, loving God, but also He protects His own, doesn't He?
Yeah, he really does. And, you know, let me just say this. First of all, we are praying for your dad. And really, I would hope that personnel or HR would reprimand this young man who's just trying to, you know, prod and get somebody angry. In 2 Kings chapter 2 Kings 22, 23, and 24, by the way, 2 Kings chapter 2, verses 23 and 24. Bert, this has been a favorite trope of atheists because, you know, Elisha is going up, and basically in the language, now the King James, it says, "There came forth little children mocking the prophet. Go up, thou bald head. Go." In other words, get out of here, you old man. Really, and it's long been known in the original language, this was a gang of thugs. I mean, it's an unfortunate translation that it says little children, because in the liner notes of the King James it says youth. But really, here's Elijah, who's really getting attacked by a gang, right? And they're blaspheming God, mocking him, and he looks on them, and he calls on the name of the Lord, and there came forth two female bears out of the woods and tore up, guess what, these 42 youth. So to that atheist, I would say, first of all, this was not the prophet Elijah attacking children. Look, you got 42 young thugs that are going to attack a man of God, and God allowed these bears to come out, and Elijah was safe, and the gang attacking him were hurt. It doesn't say they were killed, but it says they were torn, or at least, you know, scratched and scattered. But to the atheist, one last thing, and I know we've got other calls. Look, if there's no God, what's the problem? It's just that stuff happened. But really, I would hope your dad, please don't let your dad get riled up. This person just is repeating, parroting some silly argument that he read on a blog site. Not terribly impressive.
Well, let's go to the others. I know we got Ruth, Robert, and Juan. Let's get their prayer request, then we'll finish up in prayer. Go ahead, Alex. Ruth, go ahead. Yeah.
Yes, Ruth.
Hi, gentlemen. Good afternoon. Thank you so much for taking my call. I am a longtime listener. I am a hospice worker, so I have you guys going on my radio all day long. First and foremost, I would like to, I have a praise report, actually. A praise request, I guess you could say. You know, I have always been pretty strong in my faith, my husband as well. But he experienced very profound losses back-to-back a couple years ago and has struggled greatly in his faith since then. Come November, my mom had some very scary medical issues to where we almost lost her. And because of that, it kind of brought him back to his faith once he saw, you know, what God could do through prayer. And, man, let me tell you guys, it has been an extreme life changer, him coming back to the Lord. He has stepped into the role of a godly father and is leading our family through Bible study and getting active in church. And, you know, we do it with the children as well. And so I need to praise God for that.
Amen,
I have to praise
Ruth.
Him for bringing my husband back to him.
Amen, Ruth. Hey, we're going to pray for him to continue to do that. We are cutting you off a little quicker because we want to get the other two prayer requests in as soon as we can. Robert from Tennessee, give us your prayer request as quickly as you can, brother.
Okay, I don't know where to begin, but I'll just start here that I've fallen into porn, and I never thought I would. I've been a Christian since 1981, and it's rougher now for me than it was at the beginning of my relationship. Only this time I'm wondering if I can be saved because I know better, and I did it anyway.
Robert, you can be saved. Listen, review this if you have to. Trust the Lord. Ask his forgiveness. Yes. Ask him. pull away from the sin. Whatever sin it is, pull away from it. Don't make friends with it. Make friends with the Lord and follow him. Alex, we need to pray for Ruth, Robert, and we got Juan as well. We're praying for all of them, aren't we?
We are, folks. I know we didn't get to everybody in the interest of time. Listen, Jesus loves you. Jesus is for you. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us. So remember, Jesus is as close by as a prayer. We'll see you tomorrow on Exploring the Word.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.